Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever. I've been there for making things better. Here we go. I'm not Eric Bischoff. I'm David Campbell. Welcome to Saturday Draft Live. It's a pleasure to be here. The launch of Season 9, the last time I was here in this sort of capacity, not being a dick about everyone's teams, was in Season 4. So this is very, very interesting. Very happy to be back. Like I said, temporary basis while Scott goes on vacation to Mexico or the Bahamas or wherever he's away to in the sun. He'll still be editing this show, but at least it'll be by a pool. I'm joined by the regular team here at Saturday Draft Live. Jack Graham, how are you?
Yes, I'm very well. I'm looking forward to season 9, as we look forward to every season. You know, the live stream Thursday night, absolute resounding success. Scott managed to get his vacation, as I said. I'm sure he's sipping pina coladas and getting caught in the rain somewhere. So it's all going very well for us, I think.
Two song references so far. Okay. We're up for our game for season 9. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. And it's good to have you back in the SDL chair. And I'm just glad that you've clarified that you're not Eric Bischoff. And despite what you said right at the start, I know you're still going to be a dick about people's teams.
Listen, but there's a difference between doing it the way I did it and doing it the way that it's actually going to be worse because I'll be doing it by the numbers. I'll be tearing people's teams apart completely legitimately. And that is the difference here. Basically, boys, before we get into looking at everything that happened at the draft at season 9, we do need to reflect briefly on what happened at the end of season 8. Season 8 ended at WrestleMania night 2. It was a very close, intense race, but Jack, in the end, it was myself and Ryan, the Goat Tones, who came out of that one 7.5 points ahead of Men on a Mission. What were your thoughts on the end of the season and a rip-roaring WrestleMania weekend in the draft?
I think I said when you and Ryan came on, when it was your show and we're talking about your team, I firmly placed my hat on you two winning the season. Did I think that Grant and Gary would have such a big points difference going into that final weekend? No, I didn't. I thought yous were going to sail away with it. So they managed to bring the fight right up to the very end, and yous had a very, very good night, I think, on WrestleMania night 2 and night 1, and managed to call that all the way back. So it was exciting nonetheless. I commend your efforts on it. And Ryan as well. You know, it wasn't just a one-man team, of course.
Thank you very much. Despite what Gary said in the draft show, it definitely is not a one-man team. It's very much a case of teamwork. But Dave, it came down to, sometimes it can come down to the way a few matches go. If Drew had won the WWE title and Nia and Shane had lost the women's tag titles, maybe we're looking at something else this week. That's how close this season was.
See, this is what I really, really enjoy about the draft. It's like it can always come down to one perfectly timed captaincy change or a pay-per-view going in a person's direction. There was a point where Men on a Mission were ahead of the Goat Tones at one point, and it looked like they might have just scooped the victory away from you. But, you know, WrestleMania paid off in the end, and that all comes down to one of your picks making multiple appearances over the weekend, and that's what secured you the win.
Totally. And I do have to say, I think Gary and Grant are two of the best drafters we've ever had to have never won a season. They have been here, Grant's in season 5, I think it's been, season 4 or 5, and Gary has been here since day 1. Both of them, I think, drafted expertly from round 1. It just took some modest magic, you know, like me and Ryan pulled out some risks with our tag team. So, you know, we did it in the end, and it was a very interesting season. But out with the old, in with the new, we had the draft for season 9, everyone's favourite time of the season. It's a great night. Jack Graham, excellent job trying to keep us all wrangled in, especially with all the shenanigans going on with everyone's least favourite drunk uncle, Ross McLeod, showing up trying to draft every backstage interviewer under the fucking sun at one point. But we did have Stephen Wilson drawn first on the wheel. And David, I'm just going to ask you quickly, mm-hmm. when Stephen Wilson drafts first, two-time draft champion, I think the air comes out the room a wee bit because you're just like, oh no.
Yeah, it was the same reaction I had after the Fiend Randy Orton match at the on the second night of Mania. I was just like, what the heck? But yeah, the last place a two-time draft winner needs to be is in the number one position. But that goes without saying that the number one draft selector in a season has never won a season before, but you know, with an experienced drafter like Steven, he might break that curse.
Well, the question here for Jack is, Steven Wilson on paper, very smart choices that he had complete control over. Obviously, draft number one, you have complete control over your first tag pick and your first singles pick. He picks Nia and Shayna, who 127 points last season, were the highest grossing tag team of all time. It was that good a performance from them last season. He drafts Bianca Belair, who is 7th overall last season with 55.5 points, winning the SmackDown Women's title at WrestleMania. On paper, Jack, it looks like really good choices, but my question to you is this Nia, Shayna and Bianca's season, or was Steven banking on past success with those picks?
I think it's a mix of both. I'd go to say that Nia and Shayna will still be a good pick. Do I think they'll lose women's tag titles within this season? Yes, but as shown last night, they seem to still be appearing on Raw and SmackDown, so they'll be getting the appearance points, which is all vital in such a long season like this. But I think he was also hedging his bets a bit with previous past performance, especially last season and how the two performed. I think Bianca just winning the title, is she going to wrestle as much as what she did last season? I don't know. I feel that maybe it should be a big kind of pay-per-view fighter, so you can get the points from that. But yeah. I think maybe a mix of thinking of both could maybe prove delight for him, but also may hinder him a bit here.
It's different, I think, this thing, because Bianca is a babyface champion, and we're seeing like the Rey Mysterio effect in 2006. You know, sometimes that's not the best person to draft. Like, dominant heels sometimes are maybe a bit better. But look at Roman's performance on paper, what he could have done if he hasn't been drafted as a tag team the last couple of seasons. You know, it is interesting to look at it. And Steven's team name is the top 1% for a reason. He believes he is the best. But Dave, I do have to point out another one of his picks that is very interesting. I had their Wikipedia page open right as he picked them. It's Ty Conti, and we need to talk about the addition of Dark Elevation, in that a lot of these maybe mid-card acts in AEW who could appear on Dynamite also have a chance to appear on two shows in a single week. Do you think Ty Conti could be one of those picks?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and AEW's women's division just got a big kick up the arse, thanks primarily to like Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa's lights out match. And with the addition of Dark Elevation, we've seen in the past that these mid-card talents, you know, like members of the Dark Order, such as Alex Reynolds, John Silver, you know, they get their weekly matches on Dark, for example, but then they will regularly make appearances on Dynamite at the same time. So getting that combination of appearances and matches on a regular basis, week by week, is definitely going to be I'd like to call it like a silent assassin when it comes to picks, and Tay Conte fits the bill perfectly for that.
Totally, totally. And I like that Steven brought back the top 1% name. I enjoy a bit of consistency in team names for me with the draft. It helps build that sort of legacy and dynamic in history. And someone who did the same, of course, it is the return of Team Viscera with Gary Kernahan. He says he's dropped Grant McRobbie, who was weighing him down. I thought that was unfair, but Gary's coming out swinging this season, it seems. And Jack, we talk about creatures of a habit. Gary certainly likes to go back to things that have worked, and he did that with his tag pick. Lashley and MVP back in season 6 scored in at 110 points for him in that season, which is the second highest for any tag team in a single season. It seems like this could be one that works, because Lashley is in a very strong position on Raw and Gary won't be affected by losses. Do you think this is a good call?
I would say yes and no. Oh, I think as much as you saw the success that happened with it last season, I feel that maybe Lashland MVP were in a different situation last time round, because I think it was season 6 was Mania to SummerSlam again, which is season 9. Obviously, during that time, Lashley was going to be United States champion. Obviously, he was in that program with Drew, kind of a bit backlash time as well. But more importantly, MVP was fighting. And that was getting him a lot of points there. And I think something that we've seen, there's quite a few people in this draft this season has taken a world champion and a manager. I think this will be very interesting come the transfer window. Because they might not be happy with how their team's performing. They may look to see if their tag teams are picking up enough points for them to draft out for an established tag team, which we might talk about later on when we're going to certain folk. And that will leave, like your likes of Lashley, Reigns potentially up for grabs. So it's an interesting strategy, and I don't know if it's one that maybe plays out in a season like this, especially when your manager slash talent isn't going to be fighting alongside them in such a long-haul season.
It's really interesting you bring up that, and I would question that strategy. Like, not that I wouldn't do it, but I'd certainly be thinking twice about it, because imagine, like, say, Street Profits haven't been picked, right? So say transfer window Lashley A and MVP are dropped by Gary for the Street Profits. Whoever's last place in the table at that point, you've got to think is going to be picking up Bobby Lashley.
100%.
Imagine it's, like, just out of the top lane. So I'm looking at Scott's team. Imagine Scott's in last place. Scott could drop LA Knight and get Bobby Lashley. You know what I mean? That would be like a fourth round for a first round pick. That would be utterly insane. You know, so you've got to question whether they'd want to do that. But shifting focus a bit, Davey has a strong team, I think, all round. Ripley, Rollins, Banks, Bryan, again, questioning whether those are picks that would have done stronger in a previous season as to this one. We obviously don't know post-Mania plans. But the Sarah Grieve effect is hitting this season. Big things were discussed about commentators getting added to the draft. And as it stands, commentators can get 1 point for a show they feature on unless they feature in another non-commentary segment, in which case they will get an additional appearance point, according to Stephen Wilson. Someone that could apply to is Tony Schiavone, a man whose name I didn't attempt to spell on draft night, but he's been picked up by Gary. What do you think about this latest trend of drafting commentators in the draft of ESSR?
To be honest, I'm kind of frowning upon it a bit, because it feels like a bit of a cop-out, you know, just to get easy appearance points here and there. We did see it before. I think somebody picked Samoa Joe in a previous season, but it was clarified that because he was on commentary all the time, he only gets 1 point for appearing on the show. But we know Tony Schiavone not only does commentary, but he also does backstage interviews, and I think that's the loophole that Gary's trying to pick up here. I mean, personally, I'm not a fan of that tactic, but you know, there's nothing in the rules that says you can't pick a commentator that also, you know, will do in-ring interviews or whatnot. So it might be maybe a bit of a clever play on his part, you know, like with the Lashley MVP tag team that he's become very fond of.
Totally. And Gary, I think, tries to innovate in terms of draft strategy. Like, you've talked about the tag team thing. It was him who started that, and now we're seeing that permeate into the draft. Jack, Dave's rounding up on it. Is this something that you hope doesn't stay long-term in the draft in terms of strategy? Are you kind of hoping for the commentators to fail, so to speak, this season?
I don't like it. I think our selection should purely just be towards wrestlers, and I'd allow managers, because they are technically on to need talent. I think being able to take commentators is a bit bullshit in a way. I don't know. I'm not that much a fan of it. But obviously, you know, we've campaigned a lot for that internet show Dark not to be involved, and that's not involved anymore. But when it was there, would I use it? Most certainly. Like with that rule, I'm not going to like this rule of commentators and whatnot being involved, but when it gets to that point of if it was my turn to draft and there was someone like Tony Schiavone, who I completely forgot, like I would have taken that if I didn't forget him. I'd play the game, but I'm not happy at the game.
for sure. And we're going to stay with you, Jack, actually, because we need to travel at the West End Country Club. Before we direct some questions towards Hockney, I need to speak to you about something. We look at Nia and Shayna, look at Lashley MVP, first time being drafted as a team. AJ Styles and Omos coming off a WrestleMania victory. Do you think this could be a sleeper, great, all-time great draft pick for David Hockney in that tag team round?
100%. I think I think not taking him, them two first or second, is a bit of a wrong move. I'd go as far as say that. I think Dave getting them in the third pick is absolutely fantastic. That's the tag team I wanted to get, alongside the tag team I actually got. So there was two. So if I didn't get one, I was going to get the other, and I was lucky to do so. Yeah. I feel that, especially how Omos was presented at WrestleMania, it's dominance for the next week. Even that just lasts up to SummerSlam and they lose, it is going to be dominance, be it where they're going to do tag matches or they're going to be appearing, just they are going to be together. You're not going to get them apart. So when that happens, there will, it's, I think it's just a really good pick.
I think it's a good pick as well. I said that at the time. And then the third round of singles picks, Dave, you picked MJF. Now, I think that's a very strong, consistent move because he's not topping any all-time leaderboards, but he is on them. I think when Grant picked him in season 7, he scored 30 points. Which puts him on the all-time round 3 greatest picks of all time.
Yep.
And back in season 6, Jack, you picked him 27 points. It gets him on that leaderboard of best top 4, best round 4 picks of all time as well. So, Dave, you're looking at MJF and you're thinking, this is a guy who screams consistency. Did you want him as a backbone of the team, so to speak?
Yeah, I certainly did. And obviously, you know, AEW is going with this program of Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle. And I imagine that Pinnacle is going to get the upper hand and a lot of exposure, which was at the forefront of me selecting MJF. But one other stat I would like to show out about MJF is that he has been on a winning team 3 times. So he's certainly a, as you put it, a backbone of a winning team. So I had to make sure I had to get in there and make sure that, you know, he was a part of the West End Country Club.
Now, I do have to call you out because I think you made the, honestly, I think you've made the first big mistake of the draft.
Oh.
And I understand it because I myself have been caught up in draft momentum, so to speak. And I talked about this briefly, but the strategy of me drafting women, which I started way back in the early seasons, isn't necessarily so I can get them, but also to try and shape how the draft flows as well. And I think Stephen and Gary have played you a blinder with picking Raquel Gonzalez. I don't think she's proven enough to be round one, certainly not third 100%. In round one. What's your defense for that, Dave? Where do you think we're wrong on that?
No, I think you're being a bit harsh. Like taking that NXT promo right from the start, you know, WWE is clearly investing a lot in Raquel, Rhea, and Bianca. And, you know, it's not like Raquel's not going to be featured on NXT. She knows she's got a couple of challengers waiting in the wings. And I imagine she's going to be featured on a weekly basis to not only build momentum to future takeovers and stuff, but also be able to, you know, get that consistent regular appearances. Because, I mean, she didn't have the best start to the season, but you see where she was by the end of it. She scored, I think she was 7th overall out in the top 10, which is still a very, very strong performance. So, yeah. I mean, you could look at it as taking a bit of a gamble, but they've obviously given the ball to Raquel, and now they're saying, let's roll with it. So I'm rolling with it. That was my argument.
Can I propose a counter here to that?
Absolutely.
If so be. I think that the difference with that is, Dave, that she was chasing a title and the captaincy got switched, and I think that's what did the points so well. This time round, she's got the championship. She is that heel, and with takeovers probably going to be so sparse in a season that's mainly WWE main roster pay-per-views, I think that I'm willing to say that Raquel was not on your mind as your very first round draft pick of who you wanted. Maybe it's Bianca and Rhea, but I do think that with the Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion gone, you're like, oh no, I need to take a champion here, and you need to take Raquel because I think she was almost certainly going to go round two. I think it is just you were just made, it was a potentially just caught up in it and you had to get her going, but I don't think she's going to wrestle. Will she appear? Yes. I don't think she's going to wrestle a lot, and when she does, I think it's still going to be very sparse. I don't know. It's one I've got a question mark over, I think.
Just well, to counter that, I did pick Io Shirai last season, who was a defending champion, and she was the best round 4 pick for the majority of the season.
Yeah, that's round 4. That's round 1.
Boys, take the gloves off. All right.
sorry.
For now, because we're going to pick apart Jack's team now.
Yes.
We moved from the West End Country Club to Jack. Say it for me again. It's liquidated, relegated, still the same fantasy team, is that correct? Have I got that in the right order? 100%. Yep. Now, we do have, I thought was the biggest steal of the draft, and I just need to ask you purely about surprise, Drew McIntyre. You look at last season, the guy is a drafting beast. He comes in, overall, 137 points last season. It's not the first time he's done this. Drew McIntyre has been a consistently great round one pick. He appears on that list, 187 points in season five. For Grant, were you shocked that he fell to you at number four?
See, to be honest, I'll say yes, I'll say no. I'm going to say number one and number two, I was almost 100% guaranteeing that it was going to be Bianca and Rhea was going to go, purely because of what happened with the tag team strategy. That kind of threw me off a bit. Did I think Dave would take Drew? Yes. So I'd say I was surprised not that he wasn't gone by round three, and I think getting him round four, as you said, is the biggest steal. He's someone that I was wanting to get. I was hoping that I'd be high enough to get him, because say he doesn't even win the title at WrestleMania Backlash or whatever, he's someone that will be wrestling every week, and that's just a guarantee that's happened all the way through this season, apart from when he had COVID, like during this COVID time of wrestling. He's been on Raw every week and he's been wrestling. He's been on pay-per-views every time and he's been wrestling. So I'm very surprised. I even to slip to four, shocked.
Yeah, totally. And I think a consistent team, you talk about MJF winning, myself personally, Alexa Bliss, the two times I've won, has been on my team, so I see of you as a bit of a good luck charm. Damian Priest, you know all about him from last season, Jack. And I do want to talk briefly about Candice LeRae. I feel an underrated draft pick. Season 6 with Grant appears on the all-time round 3 scorers with 30 points for that season, 29.5 in season 5 for Gary. She is, again, another consistent backbone of a team. But Dave, I need to come to you because you are very familiar with one of Jack's picks in the Young Bucks.
Yes.
You have a very rich experience, it has to be said, with the Young Bucks in this draft. You always say they always seem to fall on to the West End Country Club.
Yes,
you need to look, though. You need to look at the Young Bucks last season, I think. It wasn't great. They were actually the lowest scorers on your team last season. Mm-hmm. Were you shocked that Jack picked them as a tag team so far up, considering their recent dip in form in the draft?
Honestly, no, because the Young Bucks, to use the word again, are a consistently booked tag team and they're consistently scoring points. When you put it in the context of my team last season, yes, they were the lowest scorers on my team by the end of it, but during the season, for the majority of it, they were actually around the middle of the table. And that's kind of what a tag team's there to do. It's there to sort of just prop up the team, much like, you know, the third or fourth round picks. So, and it wasn't until Karrion Kross won the NXT title, that's when he overtook the Young Bucks. So the lowest scoring team, but not by much. And in terms of past picks, you know, they've been scoring at least like between 30 and 40 points. So to be honest, I'm not surprised Jack took the took the Young Bucks.
My problem with it is, like, I think he'll keep pace, Jack, I think he'll keep pace with like the rights, like, so your Reigns and Heymans, you know, or your, like, we'll get to Omegas and Calluses, right? But AEW doesn't have many pay-per-views coming up, as Seda pointed out. MSK outscored them last season. I'm not sure where the Young Bucks stock currently sits, which is why I was surprised. And Dave, you talk about what a tag team's there to do. You could see a tag team's there just as an anchor of a team, but you look at Nia and Shayna. Nia and Shayna won us, you know, the season last year, and that was a bit of a risk. So sometimes you go out on a limb, you can get it. But Jack, I do need to ask you, you got someone I had my eye on. You need to play to the season. Tell us again about what you think Hangman Adam Page has in store for him in this season up until SummerSlam.
Oh, I must say, see, maybe, what a third round pick, if I do say so myself.
With all the modesty in the world.
Yeah.
I think that it's someone that I think has been pretty quiet, and maybe someone that wasn't considered enough. Maybe it was for like later rounds, but Adam Page has just been on a win streak of all of 21. It will be, I think he's appeared in Dark Elevation as well. He's involved in this Dark Order. So even when he's not wrestling, he is an AEW in some way with the Dark Order storyline. Will he join him? Will he not? He's well rumoured to be the one that topples Kenny Omega to become the world champion. Be that happens this season or at another point, but that win streak is going to keep on continuing. It's just going to keep on coming for him. And I'm just so happy to have him on my team.
I think it's wise. And I think it could be, I really think that pick could shape the season if it plays out, as I know you're hoping it will. So keep an eye on Adam Page. Someone else we need to keep an eye on is a man with a faster heel turn since Big Show, man. He went from the people's representative to the people's opposition, all within the stage of five costume changes throughout a show. It is, of course, Ryan Dalglish. Now, he picks Reigns and Heyman. We've talked about that. Consistent. It's going to get you those points. Jack, as your friend, I'm going to come to you first. I raise questions about several of his picks on here. I raise questions about Asuka and where her stock is. I raise questions about Bray Wyatt and his traditional draft performance through not wrestling a lot. Do you think it's safe to say that there are quite a few question marks on the team of Ryan Dalglish?
Yes, I would say. I'd say to say that there's quite a few question marks in the for the team of Ryan Dalglish. I will say that obviously Robert Shaw, obviously part of your team last season, Dave, he had the benefit of having an experienced drafter like yourself doing that selection. This is something that's completely alien to the Listeners League in its entirety. It's the first time they've had to draft singly by themselves and had to think about a strategy, whereas you were able to help with that strategy. Robert Shaw, I must say that Ryan on the kind of on the stream himself conducted himself brilliantly, so I'll give him like a round of applause for that. But some of the picks there, as you said, there's question marks. Like Karrion Kross, I understand you need to go, but is he first round? I don't know. Asuka, what's going to happen? Bray Wyatt, I'm not sure. I will say his last two round picks, I would say, are pretty good. Yeah. But for your first three, I don't know.
You look at the numbers surrounding Asuka, 109 points for Allen in season six. She was drafted in round one. I remember that because I wanted her. I'll draft him right behind him. You look at 85 points for Dave in season seven, again drafted in round one. Overall, Asuka sits very pretty on one of the all-time great draft scorers we have ever seen in this league. I'm not doubting that she is traditionally a good pick. I just doubt where Asuka goes from here. You know, but Dave, we need to look also Karrion Kross big for you and Robert Shaw last season.
Yep.
Ryan Dalglish has doubled down. Karrion Kross and Scarlett. Do you think that's maybe hedging his bets a wee bit? Like, even if Karrion Kross does for some reason pick up a loss, at least you have the appearance points of two folk to maybe balance that out.
See, this is, I think, this was one of the unsung, you know, best plays of the draft itself, because Ryan picking up Kross and Scarlett in his team is actually pretty damn clever, because it means he gets the benefit of both of them appearing at the same time, which they often do. And you're right, you know, Kross, you know, might not stand out as a first round pick on his own, but with Scarlett backing him up in round five, that is actually a pretty devastating combo right there. You know, Ryan could run rampant with NXT.
Yeah, I do think the team of it, the sum of its parts, so it's got Gargano as well. The team isn't going to win him it. I doubt, though, he'll finish last. I think there's enough there to get him a safe mid-table finish, which, for like you said, Jack, a guy who's never drafted before, first time a Listeners League competitor, has had to draft singularly in this draft. I don't think it's a dreadful performance from Ryan. I'll just be interested to see where certain pieces fall for that. But this is where I think I'm going to get myself in trouble. Because he's just left, like I said, he is Saturday draft live. I love Scott McLeod. However, I need to be honest with my take here. I genuinely believe that this will be the last place team of the season. And he has a great name, the Doug Judy Appreciation Society. I think it's a great team name. Am I being harsh, Jack? Do you see bright spots in Scott's team here?
I would say I see maybe one or two. And I would say, again, it's the last two round picks. I think Ember and Shotzi understand taking them away from their tag team, but I think that was more tactical than them being a tag team themselves, because women being so scarce with what was happening beforehand, the world champions going, they had to kind of monopolise the field in a way. There's so little left to take. The first three, I'm not sold on them being first three round picks. Thunder Rosa, I think, someone that's going to appear a lot on Dark Elevation and Dynamite, and I think what might happen with her. I know that, I think, is she in line for the NWA title, but I don't think that will get him championship points.
It won't. It's one of those things, isn't it? It's quite controversial, but I don't think it will.
But Kyle O'Reilly, I think that's a very good round five pick. I think he's going to be kind of someone that NXT might be getting molded about, especially starting from now going on, but it's certainly not enough to carry this team.
It's interesting because I remember sitting with Scott back in the early days of this show when we still were on the Patreon. That's how far back it was. criticising Allen. I remember for drafting Volter. I can't even remember if it was round one. It might have even been round two. And we were saying it's a bit short-sighted to draft an NXT UK pick, considering there's no guarantee anyone appears on that show on a weekly basis. Now, What I will say is, Walter has shown that he is a cross-brand competitor, so he could get NXT UK and NXT proper appearances out of the man. Having said that, still don't think it's strong enough for round one. We will keep an eye on the team. Dave, I think his only saving grace could be if Bayley pulls out the magic again, which she has so many times in this draft, an all-time drafting great, the best female draft pick of all time, 246 points for Steven in season 5, which replicates this season. It was the last time there was a Mania to SummerSlam season. That could be the linchpin of Scott's team here.
Yeah, it's I think this is the shining light of Scott's team at the minute, because on paper it doesn't look that impressive. And it's also mostly NXT and one AEW representative. So it's not a very diverse team when you look at it either. I mean, sure, Bayley might, you know, get some momentum back after having a pretty quiet season last season, but I think that's the only thing that's going to carry Scott's team forward. I mean, Ember and Shotzi, you know, they might get a few more matches out of the NXT women's tag team titles, but I don't see them holding it as far as the transfer window, let alone SummerSlam.
Yeah, I could see Xia Li and Tian Xia getting in there. I think Jack alluded to that before the draft, and I was very tempted to pick one of them because of that. But like I said, it will be interesting to see what happens with Scott's team. We move on to his brother, Alan Loyal. Alan, I can't even say this name, by the way.
Alan Laurie Loyal.
Alan Laurie Loyal. So that does not sit well with my mouth. But Ross McLeod, that is the name of his team. Dave, I need to come and ask this. Ross McLeod, is he the Tony Pulis of the draft? Is he a man who just goes with... He drafts your Peter Crouches, you know what I mean? He drafts your James Milners, he drafts your, you know, your whatever's the consistent Premier League performers. He drafts Charlotte Flair, he drafts Kevin Owens, he drafts New Day. People who have worked out in the past. Do you think Ross McLeod is stuck in the past as a drafter?
I mean, he might be stuck in the past, but I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be, because as we've seen from history, these selections have actually scored very, very well. And coming out of WrestleMania week, you know, maybe with the exception of Edge at the minute, these picks have actually almost been injected with new life in a way. Like Charlotte Flair is back in the Raw women's title scene. Kevin Owens is, you know, consistently one-upping Sami Zayn. But I think the one that could be the silent assassin for Ross's team is Kushida, who has just won the Cruiserweight Championship. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, Kushida sort of fell flat for Scott and Steven's team last time around, failing to capture the North American title. But now that Kushida's finally earned the Cruiserweight Championship, this could be one that actually helps Ross out. And along with the consistent points getters of his previous round picks, I don't know. I think Ross might just surprise us all.
Yeah, it's a case, is he living in the past or is he going back to the future with Kushida? We will need to see on that one. Thank you. I'm here all week. But Jack, I want to talk about Charlotte Flair. Charlotte has been one of the most up and down draft competitors of all time. She either scores very, very highly, picking out great performances for whoever drafts her, or we have a Ryan Gallagher situation where she doesn't show up, or we have a situation like last season where she doesn't show up. Where's your prediction for Charlotte Flair this season? Is she going to be a strong round pick, a round one pick for Ross, or is he going to suffer the curse of Charlotte Flair?
I don't think she will be the best round one pick, but I don't think she'll be the worst round one pick. I think it's one of the ones that if she didn't go then, she would be gone by the time it got to his turnaround too. So I kind of understand why she had to go. Obviously, she did a promo, then she attacked Rhea and Asuka during the women's title match on Raw and ended in a draw. Obviously, she's hoping to get inserted in that. Do I think they'll take the title off Rhea Ripley so soon? No. But I do think Charlotte's going to appear. So I think to that point, if a triple threat happens or whatnot, I think it's a good move. Past that point, who knows what's happening?
Yeah. I mean, it looked New Day, Charlotte Flair, Edge, Kevin Owens, Kushida, Beth Phoenix has went to commentate as well after the hoopla that happened on draft night. So, like I said, it's going to be an interesting one for Ross. I don't quite know how to call it because he has tradition on his side. He has the past on his side. Does he have this season on his side, and that's what's important. But we need to go to a team that is instantly classic. It is Christian Cage Instant Classics, drafted, of course, by Sarah Dreve, making her first singles return to the draft after being paired with Strack last season. She has learned from mistakes. This girl was talking about how she wasn't... I'm getting passionate here. I'm getting heated. This is the moment, people. She was talking about how, I'm just going to here have fun. I thought she was going to make ridiculous picks. I thought Hornswoggle was getting picked in round one the way she was talking. And Sarah comes up with what is, for me, the dark horse team of this entire draft. Omega and Callis, great pick. Christian Cage, draft debut on a hot run. The Bloody Dentist, fair enough. We'll get to her in a minute. Corey Graves, Frankie Monet, Bronson Reed. Dave, when you look at Sarah's team, what stands out to you here? What do you think about the Instant Classics?
The thing that stands out to me the most is Britt Baker. Like, you know, Sarah's been very vocal that Britt Baker is going to be the one to dethrone Hikaru Shida and become the new AEW Women's Champion. But you also have to remember, she also appears on Dark and Dark Elevation. So this could be an absolute steal of a pick, particularly within the quite a thinning women's division on AEW. But if I have to pick a flaw in Sarah's team, I think it's the same story as Scott's. It's very Wednesday night heavy, the one exception being the commentator cop-out with Corey Graves. But it's on paper, it actually doesn't look that bad. So it's kind of hard to call this one, but there's certainly a few gems in there.
I'm really excited about this one, Jack, because of its balance between risk and strategy. Like, there's logic. We talked about Paige with you. You can't see Christian not going on a run, you know, and that type of winning streak, Christian going on a run, Baker going on a run, Brunson Reed dominant right now, Frankie Monet just debuting. It seems like, Jack, she has a team of the present, and that's what could get her wins and points in the draft.
I think, for me, out of the bottom half, I think she's 100% drafted the best, even though she said she wasn't going to be taking this seriously, she was going to have fun. By God, I think she's played an absolute blinder. Omega and Callis, I think that was such a one I just didn't expect. Once you saw Lashley MVP go, I kind of thought, right, somebody's going to take Reigns and Heyman at some point, and that happened. But I just completely forgot that Kenny Omega and Callis could be one that just goes away as well.
Yeah.
And that, I think, just scuppered up a lot of plans for folk. I was hoping to get Callis about round five.
Yeah.
And obviously, I had to kind of shape things away from there. Christian Cage, as you said, new to the draft, but the thing that's on his side is he's going up against a Team Taz rivalry here, and they're absolute dog water in creative and writing, so you're going to be getting good things coming up there. Britt Baker is someone that's been wrestling in Dark Elevation a lot and building up that record. I think she has the best women's record in the AEW right now, so she's going to be going for that title at some point. Corey Graves, new commentator in Raw, will be commentating on a pay-per-view, so of a week that could get our 3 points and whatnot. So it's like it's a consistent point, maybe a bit too high up for round three, but Frankie Monet, I'm sorry to say Campbell's a good pick. I know that you wanted
him. I know it's a good pick considering I wanted him.
But it's someone who's already kind of inserted herself right into that scene with Raquel Gonzalez. She might not be wrestling straight away, but she's going to be there or thereabouts. And I think for round four, that is a consistent points getter. I'd maybe have a bit of question mark over Bronson Reed because I don't know where he's going to go. I think Dexter Lumis is the one to get the title off Gargano. But he's going to be there or thereabouts, isn't he? And when he's wrestling, you don't really see him losing.
Yeah, and speaking of controversy, we've got Ryan Gallagher, Northman Southman Com Resolve is the name of his team. He has Sheamus, Apollo Crews, Indy Hartwell, Zoe Stark, Randy Orton. Dave, as his tag team, he has Pretty Deadly. Now, I love Ryan.
Oh, dear.
Team with him last season, but I think that shows the importance of making sure that you're listening and have a good internet connection on draft night.
If you take any lesson from the draft selection show, it's pay attention, because this is the only blemish I have on Ryan's team, and it is a pretty damn big one. Like, look at the teams you could have chosen from. The Street Profits, Ziggler and Rude, MSK, and he goes with Pretty Deadly. Like, oh my gosh, it's the Indus share mistake all over again, isn't it?
I do have to say, he mailed me before it, and he was like, oh my God, do you have a list of tag teams? I've forgotten about tag teams. And I was already busy. Well, I would have helped him out, but I was busy with the production by this point. You know what I mean? We do have to look at the all-time tag scorers. There has never been an NXT UK tag team on that list, and I know the likes of Gallus have been drafted in the past, you know, so this maybe shows...
I think Grizzled Young Vets were NXT UK when they were drafted, and I think they got 1 point.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're looking at here with Ryan. He's got to hope that maybe Pretty Deadly are a consistent act. Maybe they want to build them up in NXT UK. But Jack, he's done something I think really, really special in round one and two. He's drafted both mid-card champions, which I do think both of these guys could go on a wee run. So that could be good pay-per-view appearance points for them there.
I think they two picks the only reason Ryan Gallagher's not going to finish last this season. I think for you to say, David Hockney, that Pretty Deadly is the only blemish in his team, I think that's very, very generous to Ryan Gallagher. I think the majority of his team's been drafted absolutely shit.
Wait.
Pretty Deadly, I think, is not... I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about Pretty Deadly. Indi Hartwell, to be the first one to go the way, to go in round three, No, it's a no for me. I know she's going to be going to this thing with Lewis, but I don't see her wrestling a lot. I think it'll be appearance points, but for round three, comparing up to what you've got against it, I don't think it's good. Zoe Stark as well, round four, I get that you need to draft women in this to have the 3-2 split, but I don't think she's going to be... I know she's set her interest in winning the women's title, but it's just not going to happen. Randy Orton's meant to be going in this long extended break as well. I don't think it's been a smart drafting strategy here. Apart for the two first picks of Sheamus and Apollo Crews, I think that's a blinder. I think that's the only reason he's not going to finish last.
You do have to acknowledge it, and I know we praised Sarah there before, but Ryan, I think, does feel less pressure when, because he won last season. Also, drafting from that position is difficult. You know, second last is difficult, as we all know, to draft from that area in the pack, and sometimes you do make those decisions that maybe, because your plan is constantly changing, you're needing to think on the spot a lot more than people who are, say, drafting higher up. It can be a bit more of a pressure situation. I think maybe that's what's happened with Indi. I'll defend it, because there are people we've talked about getting appearance points. If she's going to be in a story-heavy angle, that could help with that. Zoe Stark, I tend to agree with you, Jack, but there does seem to be this funny little uprising that they want to give her a push, but not really. We need to see where it lands with that. And like you said, Randy Orton meant to be going in this break. We will need to see where that lands. Question marks for the last three. Tag team not so good, but I do think, like you say, Jack, Sheamus and Apollo will be the thing that elevates them up the card. Now, I'm going to let you guys take the reins for a bit, because now we have come to the return to the draft of Team GOAT. I drafted last. My team is there for both of you to look at. Mm-hmm. Dave, what do you have to say on Team GOAT?
Well, to be honest, some of your picks at certain points, I mean, only Team GOAT could get away with doing that. I mean, who in their right mind would choose Adam Pearce as a round one draft pick?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I've got to maybe argue that point there, that with the success of Adam Pearce last season, he was going to go, and Campbell wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to go anywhere else other than Team GOAT, so he had to take him first round. I think it's sound thinking. I think may not be... I don't know, like, obviously, I think he has people on his team that will score more points than Adam Pearce, but I fully understand why he had to go round one for Campbell.
Listen, I said this on the draft show, it was the 12th highest scorer last season. If the captaincy had been on Pearce, it would have been the third highest scorer last season, ahead of Bobby Lashley, the WWE champion. So you can question round one all you want, but if you're telling me that I'm drafting from 10th, and I could have the third highest scorer for a season on my team, I'm going to take that opportunity. I'm going to take that chance. And you've got to look, I've got two people who broke the top 12 last season on my team in round one or two. Big E scored 54 points. I understand that he doesn't have the title now, but I do think there's still big things in the air for him. You know, mm-hmm. So I do have to hit back, Dave, on that Adam Pearce point.
Yeah, no, I've got no qualms about Big E. You know, Big E is a... did very well for Scott in season 7 as a round 2 pick, 63.5 points there. So a very reliable sort of round 2 pick on that front. FTR, no complaints about that either. You know, they've also been a very consistent tag team. But Jack, I think it's time to address the big man-sized elephant in the room that with red hair that is Becky Lynch. Now, Becky Lynch has obviously been teasing about appearing possibly at WrestleMania weekend, but lo and behold, she doesn't show up. And there's not been any further indication that she might return anytime soon. She might return before SummerSlam. But, Go, I want to ask you, what made you so confident as to take this gamble as the very last pick of the Season 9 selection?
Shits and giggles, headline. you know, I was going to pick Xia Li. What a boring way to end the draft on. Like I said, I'm drafting from last. I need to take a big hit if I have any chance of winning. And if Becky Lynch even has the smallest chance, I sound like Ben Affleck's Batman at this point. If there's even a 1% chance that Becky Lynch showed up, you better make sure that I'm going to take it. You know, that is what I'm looking at here. She's a main event player. If she features, you've got to believe if people knew she was featuring, she would have been rounds one or two. If I can take her as the very last pick of the draft and somehow it pulls off, I don't think that's a bad thing.
You've got to look as well. I think when the rule got introduced, if you win the season, you draft from last position. That's what happened to me. I mean, I won. And I had to draft from 12th because it was 12 folk, only two were in purgatory. And I had to draft from 12th. You just know you're not going to win. Obviously, this is a season where the transfer window coming into play, but Campbell was in that position where you can take the kind of Hail Marys and just see what happens. And if Becky Lynch works out, then great. But as always, you go for the shits and giggles. Like I drafted Lana first round in the hope because she was in this kind of Asuka thing, but for some reason they took her out and she appeared in the Royal Rumble again. But you see, when you're taking these Hail Marys, it can be like strokes of greatness. And what happened with me with that was I took Paul Heyman round five of our season, and fair enough, I didn't win, but he got himself into that top position of like round five picks. I think he's like somewhere...
A legendary round five pick, honestly.
Yeah, he finds himself like up near the top of round five. He's got 38 points in season seven for me, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4...
Seventh
position in the top round five picks, and that's just taking Hail Marys. Yeah. The same could happen for Campbell here. So I've got no qualms with a guy that's last position and just trying to take big swings.
Yeah, totally. And I do have to defend as well. My big swing came with Red Velvet. I know she lost to Jade Cargill. I do think, though, that there are big things in her future. I think that the brass at AEW look kindly in her, and that's a Dark Elevation pick. Make no lies about that. I'm hoping they'll build her back up on that show. My big question mark is Zayn, I was going to take Darby Allin. But I went with Zayn ahead of Darby because I do genuinely believe that they will reward Zayn for his work with a Money in the Bank win. So we'll see.
Now that you've said Darby Allin, he is defending the TNT title against Jungle Boy this coming week.
Yeah, I know. And maybe if I was drafting fifth, I'd take Darby Allin. You know what I mean? Because I know I can get stronger picks in the next two rounds, but I knew that I was going to be picking at scraps. So I knew I had to go for the big swing, you know? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We will ask the question, though, before we leave today. Jack, can you tell me who you think, apart from yourself, is going to win the season and who you think is going to finish last?
I know I come across as quite a big-headed guy, so I generally do think I have one of the best teams in this. Mm-hmm. But Without me in the picture, if I had to say one person to win it, I'm going with Team Viscera. Okay. I think Gary's the man for me to do this. And I think last, it's going to be Scott or Ryan Gallagher.
Okay, Dave, what about you?
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same mindset as Jack. I look at Ross's team on paper, and I think, you know, maybe there's some strokes of genius there. But in terms of this season, I'm also going to say Team Viscera, Gary's team.
Wow.
And to come last, Scott's team.
I'm not going to say Team Viscera because I've said it basically every season he's not won. So I don't think Gary wants my jinxy voodoo magic ruining yet another season for him. I will go to win. I'm going to go Jack to win the season. Looking at it, I think Sarah is an outside bet, like I've said, but I'll go with Jack. And I do have to say, I think Scott will finish last unless he has a badass transfer window. So we will see. We'll see how it works out. It's been absolutely fantastic talking the kickoff to season 9 with both of you this morning. It's been a great time, Jack. Pleasure as always.
Oh, no, no, the pleasure is mine. It's even more so a pleasure now you think that I'm going to win. So, you know, you're a good guy in my book.
And Dave, have a nice weekend. What's your plans?
Well, I'm going to retreat to my West End country club and fill out and write you a strongly worded letter for not backing the West End country club to win. So you'll be served with a 2-week ban despite your Glasgow Uni accent.
Wow. Okay. Well, will I go and chase Dave down to kill him? Listen to Saturday Draft Live next week. We'll see you then, boys. Bye.
Hi, I'm Scott McLeod.
And I'm Grant McRobbie.
We are the host of the monthly show on Eat Sleep Suplex, we treat East meets West.
Where we'll bring you all the latest happenings, reviews and big events from New Japan and the land of the Far East.
You can remember to check that out on the Eat Sleep Suplex, we treat podcast feed on all good Android podcasting sites like Anchor, Spotify or iTunes now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.